profess outside of that is for the benefit of others.
Amen.
When you talk about your faith, when you talk about what you have believed, you can help another person trust Christ. And in that passage, it goes through, how shall they hear unless someone tells them with a preacher? One of the strongest cases against saying the sinner's prayer or lordship salvation are the Pharisees themselves. In that episode tomorrow, we're going to look in the passage, I believe it's John, that says many Pharisees believed, but they stayed silent. Are they no longer saved? Were they never saved to begin with? How about those in Matthew 7 who do confess the Lord, who do confess their good works? Are they saved? Well, in that passage, they're actually told to depart. Some great passages that we're going to look at, but all that's available for free on youtube.com/BibleLine. It's really starting to pick up steam. We're seeing more subscribers, and I just can't wait. I can't wait until we strike a vein of people that don't agree with us, because that's when your stuff just catches on fire.
Amen.
Yes, Dave. That's going to be Thursday at noon. Every Thursday at noon, you can refresh. Mm-hmm. Every Thursday at noon is a new Bible Line episode, and that's what's replaced the radio show. And I'm hoping one day to get back on the radio with those episodes, but it's going to take a lot of time. It's very, very expensive to be on radio, but this is free right now. This is free. So I just wanted to say that as we get started tonight. Look in Jude chapter 1, and we're going to start there in verse 8. We've been talking about apostasy. We've been talking about things that you and I can look for in apostate teachers that would warn us about who they really are. There's a lot of controversy with Jude, and the only reason why a Bible verse brings controversy is because there's a misunderstanding that's been pushed out there and accepted, and people have made it the right application. But this book is not really talking about whether a person is saved or not. It's talking to saved people. You can see that in the first few verses. And it's talking to saved people to fight, strive, and struggle for the faith, to defend it, because it is under attack. I love when the teaching that's happening on Sunday nights and Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights is all coming together. We talked on Sunday night about Gnosticism, which is really, it can be a very broad topic, but it was very popular in early Christianity. And it was basically secret knowledge that only a few people knew. And one of the theories that was very popular at the time of the early church just getting started was this idea that all physical matter is evil and there is a good combatant to that, and that's all the spiritual things. And so that went into Christianity to where people were saying Jesus, when he was here on the earth, he died to defeat evil in the form of that body, in the form of all the physical things. And he never really came back from the dead. It was just a spiritual resurrection. That is an apostate teaching. It's a heresy because it is not truth in the Bible. We've been looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about the importance of the resurrection. It's teaching like that that you and I, believers, have to learn to mark, learn to avoid it, and then learn to speak the truth against it. Well, we're going to look at some hallmarks, some identifiers for apostates as we continue in our study in Jude. And tonight's title is Prideful and Popular. Apostate teachers, primarily those who are false, they are very prideful and they are very popular. And you can see this in our culture today. People will flock, and I mean by the droves, by the tens of thousands, people will line up for preachers that don't ever get into the Word. You never hear an apostate teacher go verse by verse. You never hear it. So let's look in verse 8 here, and then we're going to break some of this down. And we will be going all through the Scripture. I love that. I'm excited about that. Look there in verse 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. If you have a pencil, I would encourage you to break that into four categories here. Filthy dreamers, defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. These are the four different hallmarks that we can see of apostates in their behavior and action. The first thing we see here is filthy dreamers, okay? And the first mark, if you're taking notes here, is experiential. Experiential. Apostate teachers rely more on their personal experience than they do the revealed truth from God's word. Dreams and visions is an extremely popular phrase amongst apostate teachers. And when I mean an apostate teacher, I mean they do not believe that salvation is a free gift. They believe it's a works-based message, or they're just full-blown charismatic. I've gotten some email about people not liking that word charismatic. I do not mean that every single charismatic is an apostate, but leaders in the charismatic movement, they are apostate. Yeah. And the only reason I can say that with confidence is because we know what they believe.
Yeah.
They do not believe. Many of these big-time worship leaders, you're now finding out they don't even believe that Jesus Christ is an eternal being.
Yeah.
They believe that he was created. A leading theory right now called modalism claims that God, the Trinity, is denied, and that God just is a being who takes on three different modes. The mode of God, the mode of Jesus, the mode of the Holy Spirit, and all of it is dependent upon the person's experience. That's just not true. It's nowhere in the Bible. But because of their following and because of their persuasiveness, they do have a gift with speaking. People are flocking to it. Recently, very mainstream Christian authors of devotional books that you may even have at home are coming out and saying heretical things. And it is just, it's alarming and concerning. But the first thing here is they are experiential. And that's where we see the phrase here, filthy dreamers. And I wrote this down. An apostate may rely on his private dreams or visions to deceive others into believing he has special revelation from God. This is the definition of a cult. They have information that is privy only to them. It's not found in the scripture. It's not found in any place except their own experience. I want you to see here that they may primarily use these dreams and visions as an excuse for their sinful behavior. I have seen, it's very prevalent in the Mormon church, I have seen with men that have several wives, how they destroy their partners. They will be married for 5, 6, 7 years, and then all of a sudden the Lord leads them to a younger woman. And it's... Yeah, okay. It's sinful behavior, but it's validated because, well, that's how God led me. That needs to be examined through the truth of Scripture. Hold your place here in Jude and go to the book of Colossians in chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. You'll see this on page 1264. Specifically, we'll look in verses 18 and 19. If you have a Scofield Bible, he has a good header here called The Warning Against False Mysticism. Mysticism relies on mystery. Ooh, the wonder of it all. What are they going to say today? How are they going to speak God's truth into my life? Well, it should be through the Word, but instead it's through this mystery. Okay? Verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward. So there's a chance that you'll be swindled out of a reward because you're following these teachers, believers. You're following these men that crept in and have poisoned your church. They've poisoned your Bible study. People have built whole hermeneutical structures off of false doctrine. And it's dangerous. Look what it says. Let no man beguile you out of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. The flag should be raised when you hear a person say, well, I just choose to get my truth this way. A voluntary humility. They may be the sweetest person that you know, and this is not meant to tear them down, but you need to understand that they're being deceived. And look what they're worshiping. Of angels. Does any angel in the Bible accept worship? It's not there. John tries to fall down and worship an angel, and that angel, I love it. He's, get up. I inserted the snap. You know, it's not in scripture. But it's like, get up. Don't you know we do the same thing? Wow. Who is the only person who accepts that kind of worship? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in the book of John, you can see that. But these apostate teachers, they're voluntarily, out of their own humility and choice, worshiping angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen. So they're saying something that they're seeing that they most likely have not seen. Look at the last part of this. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Your subconscious, my subconscious, is deceitful. Any dream or vision that you have should immediately be run through the truth of Scripture. But instead, because of the attraction to mysticism, we go to the dream. And we say, oh, dream, what did you tell me? No, match that up with the Word of God. Have you ever had a filthy dream? A dream that you did not want to have? Is that from God all of a sudden? Look, we're sinful humans. We're going to sin, even in the way that we cannot control it. We have to be careful of those who elevate their dreams and visions above the truth of God. Look in verse 19. And not holding the head. Head is capitalized there because it's speaking of Jesus Christ. And you know from Jude 1 and verse 4 where it talks about they deny the Lord. Look at what it says here in 19. They're not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increases with the increase of God. Here's some things you need to see from here. Number one, the entire body of Christ, sick or healthy, is held together by the Lord. Obedient and disobedient Christians are all a part of the body.
Amen.
There's not this one outlier that's different. Okay, it needs to all be uniformed with Christ. The second thing here is, God gives the increase. God can get blessings out of a disobedient believer. Amen. It will be at his expense of joy here on earth and potential rewards in heaven, but God can still use that unbeliever to get glory. The same way he can use a yielded, disciplined believer. But what you see with an apostate is, they're in a world of their own by the things they say and the things they do. And people flock to it because there is a tendency naturally within mankind to flirt with mysticism. Look in Jeremiah. You can let Colossians 2 go. Look over there in Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23. In verse 25. Jeremiah 23, verses 25 and 26. What does the Lord say about those who prophesy through dreams that are not accurate? Look at verse 25. I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies. Mark that, please. That prophesy lies in my name. The Lord told me this and this and this. And it's contrary to Scripture. What does he say? Saying, these are what these prophets, and I use air quotes there because they're not. They're false prophets. Saying, I have dreamed. Verse 25, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? I propose to you as we look back in Jude, it's going to be there until they either get saved or until they die. It is incredibly strong. The flesh is incredibly strong against revealed truth in the Scripture. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of, and you should mark this here, the deceit of their own heart. I can't remember exactly the specific movie, but I remember as a kid watching a film that was talking about a man who was basically digging his own grave. I mean, he wasn't physically doing that, but throughout the story, he was actually plotting his own demise. And in the end, he suffered from the plan that he had already set up. And it reminds me, I don't even remember the name of that movie, but it reminds me of a false teacher. They think they're doing the work of God. They think that they are actually in line with what God says, but they're just digging their own grave. It's sad to see it. I don't like the teaching of apostate teachers, but you know what? They need to get saved. They need to understand properly, because the risk that is being run for them is hellfire. And I don't want anyone to go there. But it says right here, they're prophets of the deceit of their own lust. They're just caught away of their own actions. Go back to Jude in verse 8. So we're talking about experiential, number one there, filthy dreamers. The next phrase is defile the flesh. And I wrote next to this is the second hallmark, which is hedonistic. And if you're taking notes, that's H-E-D-O-N-I-S-T-I-C, hedonistic. And that comes from the word hedonism, which means if it feels good and it's good to do, then it's right. Okay, we can sum this up today. You and I are seeing it. Relative truth. Okay, all truth is relative. All right, there's no absolute truth. Okay, we know that's not true. Let's look at an example. If I were to take a poll tonight and I were to ask, what is your favorite ice cream? I guarantee you there's going to be more than one answer. Okay, I like Cookie Two-Step. Okay, that's good stuff by Bluebell. It's enjoyable. Other people don't like it. The Word of God is not like that. It's not your favorite flavor. Oh, I like this passage, but I don't like this passage. So therefore, the passage I don't like is not true. That is hedonism. That is doing what feels good, what makes you feel a part of God's family, even though you're in sin. I know I've been saying this for weeks, but you start listening to Christian music today with that kind of mind, you're going to get caught up. You're going to get caught up in yourself. Do a study over the next time that you're in the car. If you're in the car for 30 minutes, all the songs that you hear on Christian radio, take a survey and see which category they fall into. Self or God? Most of them talk about self. Most of them talk about self, and they actually use poor words to describe God, like, he's my obsession. Why do we have to say that? Or his love is reckless. His love is actually not reckless. It has purpose. It has intent. This is happening all over, and we have to be careful of it. Apostates also advocate for their audience to do what feels good to them. Truth is understood by what brings immediate peace. This interpretation of truth leads to the apostate's followers committing sinful acts for the sake of, it makes me feel good. And that is what we see there by defile the flesh. It's a destruction of their bodies. The third thing here is found in that third phrase, despise dominion. And this is not the dominion of the heavens. This is the authority, specifically, an authority. And I would venture to say, this is the authority of God's word.
Amen.
They despise it. I've seen this before. People that are false teachers asked biblical questions that demand a biblical answer, and the false teacher will not answer it. They will not, and a majority of the time, they slander the person that asked the question. I love the name Bible Line. I love the legacy of Bible Line. I had the honor to sit in the room that is now my office and watch Dr. Hank Lindstrom take every question that passed through a call screener. And there were people that were happy and there were people that were upset. But he stuck to the truth of God's word.
Amen.
That's a sign of a good Bible teacher. A false teacher dodges questions. Doesn't have an answer because they don't know the word. We'll see that here in a minute. But they are anarchists. Okay, that's the third word. Experiential, hedonistic, anarchists. They do not want order. They do not want the word of God to be supreme. They want their way to be supreme. They want to be the ones in power. Rejection of authority, primarily biblical authority, is a hallmark identifier of an apostate. They do not know the Bible, or they have twisted an interpretation and application of the Bible for their own gain. Gainsayers, people that say things and do things to make more following for themselves. It's incredible to see some of these false teachers and what they have in wealth. I'm not saying wealth is a sign of an apostate person, but wealth is definitely things that are accumulated and primary with an apostate teacher. Boy, if the Lord blessed with private jets for people that shared the gospel, I think I'd have at least one, you know? But you find a lot of times people that have a lot of material wealth in these ministries, you go to their websites, you can't find the gospel.
Yeah.
You can't find it. You scour their videos and it's not there. The Bible is not even there. And the fourth thing here we see in the last part of verse 8, speak evil of dignities. Okay, that third one and that fourth one, they kind of go together. Okay, they reject authority and then they slander that authority. So slanderers is the fourth action of an apostate. They're experiential, hedonistic, anarchists, and they slander. Finally, apostates not only reject authority, but speak slanderous accusations against them. That's what we have understanding here of speak evil of dignitaries. So moving on to verse 9, we have an example of an angelic being and how he handled demonic activity. And we are supposed to compare that to how an apostate handles demonic activity. Verse 9, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation. You can think of a person that is an apostate teacher that rails against demons.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, be gone, and all your this, and all your that, and all. And you know what the audience does? And they stand up. I've seen it. I have seen preachers run around and slap people. Just chaos. In the name of Jesus. Bah! In the name of Jesus. I've seen horrible things. I mean, it's comedic when you're first experienced to it. But then you find out, man, people really believe this.
Yeah.
Michael, the archangel, when he came upon demonic oppression, what was his response? Look at the end of verse 9. Durst not bring against him a railing accusation. Be gone, be gone, be gone. Who's the only one who said that? Jesus and the apostles who were given that power. But Michael said, the Lord rebuked thee. He knew where the power was. And these apostate teachers don't know it. Why? Because they're inward. Everything is inward. Everything has become consumed about them. Look what I can do. Look at the power that I have. Look at the ability that I have over these forces. They're playing games. They're playing games, and it's a deadly game. In typical Wednesday night fashion, we are running out of time, but we have to look at James 4. Look at James 4. How do we combat with demonic power against the devil? Well, James chapter 4 tells us very clearly. James chapter 4, look there in verses 6 and 7. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So we need to be humble, and then we need to submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and resist, not rail, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. You ever seen someone fleeing? It's with intent and it's quick. They're not speed walking. They're getting out of the way. The devil can flee from you as you what? Submit to God. Not as you call upon some power of yourself to cast something out. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. We've got to move quickly. Ephesians 6. Look there in verses 10 through 11, page 1255. Finally, my brethren, be strong in your ability and in the power of your might. That's not what it says. These are some of my favorite verses because my power is nothing to do with me. I'm a weak frame, but I have the Lord who fights for me. Look what he says in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of who? God, not yourself, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How do we have victory in our Christian life over demonic oppression, we submit ourselves to the Lord, we put on the armor of God, and we trust in Him. You put blinders on to the things that are happening to you, and you stay laser focused on God's word and His promises and the understanding that is in His word. Not anything else. But what's the trend with these demonic teachers? These apostates. Boy, they got it. People look to them and say, if I could only have the faith of that person. No. If you would only just trust the Lord. Okay? But they're extremely deceitful. Look there in look back in Jude as we wrap up here. Look there in verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. They speak of heavenly things. They speak of promises and power, but they don't know them. Why? Because they haven't believed on Jesus Christ. That's the only reason why. They have not believed the gospel message, and therefore they have been caught up. Look at the rest of this verse. But what they know naturally. Naturally. You should circle that word. Natural. Of the flesh as brute beasts. This is just the beginning of their description. In those things, they corrupt themselves. The word corrupt stands out to me here because all the believers will put on incorruption. What do I mean by that? All the believers will have a new resurrection body. All the believers have a new nature. The corrupt frame that you have now will put on incorruption. You will be immortal. And I'm praying we're a part of the group that gets to see the transformation without death.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, you have to be very, very careful of those who are false teachers who are persuasive and charismatic and kind and funny and all of that because they're just doing what's natural. They're just doing what's natural. You look in nature and you see different animals, how they hunt prey. There's some, they're very out there. They're very direct. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to jump after you and all that. There's some that lure. They lure their prey in. And the prey's like, oh my goodness, what is, whoop! And they're done. You ever seen that fish in Finding Nemo? With the big thing? I mean, that's a real thing. That light in front, they hang it like that. And the next thing they know, he did. You have to be careful. Mark here again. What they know naturally, and we don't have time, but write these verses down. 2 Peter 2:12. 2 Peter 2:12. And Romans 1:21-22. Boy, those are some strong verses there in Romans 1 that talk about the vain, puffed up mind of man rejecting God. They know. They know the truth, and they reject it. Some of the greatest testimonies you'll see is of scientists. Scientists that have spent years trying to understand how we got here. And you'll see how the ones who have become Christians, they'll say, we had to deny these evident pieces that God had created us. It's out there. It's active deception. The devil knows his end. Does that stop him? No. So it's the same thing with this apostate mentality and this apostate teaching. We have to be careful. I'm telling you guys, we have to be careful. The Bible says to walk circumspectly. It's a great word. It's an old word, but it's a great word. Yankee, you've heard him describe it as a cat walking on a narrow fence with dogs on both sides. You got to be careful. One step and you're a dead kitty. You understand? You have to be careful with the devotions that you let into your homes. You have to be careful with the people that you let come through your radio. Many of them are on local stations. You need to be careful. You need to be careful how you study your Bible. Amen. And hold me to the same standard. Hold me to the standard of Scripture. I'm not some exclusive person either. I'm just a person that's decided, I'm going to let this guide me. And I want you to do the same. Amen? This hand represents you and me. My wallet represents sin. Put on top of my hand because we've all sinned. This hand will represent Jesus Christ. How can a person know that they're going to heaven? You can't work your way to heaven. This sin requires a death payment. So what Jesus Christ did is he took all that sin for you. He was buried and he rose again 3 days later. And he says, Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever, again, you and me, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The moment you believe on Christ, you're passed from death into life. You'll never be brought into condemnation again. You now have been given the righteousness of God, which cannot be taken away, and you're going to heaven forever. So what is the stumbling block here? Man's pride. Man's wisdom says, no, it can't be that easy. I must do this. I must do that. No. All you can